Hey, thanks for hanging in there for the second to last presentation of the session. So we really appreciate everybody who's out in the crowd still.
Okay. So every day people are confronted with headlines and news feeds like this, reporting on the dire state of the world. Climate change, drought, environmental issues of all shapes and sizes. And for the average person, it's incredibly overwhelming, creating cognitive dissonance and oftentimes leaving them feeling helpless. What can I do? Where do I start? How can I contribute? I'm just one person. It's immobilizing, paralyzing even. I was once one of these people. I grew up highly engaged in my community. I was dedicated to improving the lives of people around me. But after finishing my undergraduate degree, I was left feeling a bit stuck. The more aware I became of global issues, from socioeconomic injustices to chronic disease to climate change, the more unsure I felt about where to start or how to contribute myself. I had studied business and political science in undergrad and had never once heard mention of negative externalities or environmental costs. I'd never really even heard mention of soil. It's the base of our global economy, the source of food, of life itself, and a dominant player in the provision of ecosystem services, yet I'd never interacted with it nor even considered its importance in our everyday lives. I began to realize how removed we were from the land, as the last speaker was mentioning, caught in the momentum of progress and lacking in appreciation and reverence for the soil on which we all depend. But how could we engage policymakers and the populace in identifying solutions when there was such a lack of scientific understanding, such a disconnect? In our science and technology-driven world, it's unrealistic to expect politicians and the public to be well-educated on this breadth of issues across fields, and the missing piece seemed to lie in scientific communication. Scientists that were capable of bridging the gap and advising policymakers in the right direction.
I was an optimistic college student. I was interested in creating change in my community, but I came from a very different angle. I was starting with the power of science to really push progress. And as an undergrad, I studied biology, and so I became well aware of the issues plaguing our food system. And so I felt like the best way to change things was from the inside. So I started farming. And for 3 years, I worked as a volunteer coordinator here. And I got paid to geek out on soil daily and share this passion with our other volunteers. To me, this farm represented this marvelous intersection of people and plants, animals, food, nutrition, ecology, conservation, and the integrated solutions that I found in this farm were really inspiring. It was a diverse operation where animals grazed in the orchards, and like I said, volunteers came from all around the world to learn about organic farming. And at the foundation of this holistically managed ecosystem was soil. And Jessica, I know, had similar experiences woofing abroad, and they were eye-opening for the both of us. And what we both realized is this is it. It's soil. Soil is the nexus of everything that we were both passionate about: environment, health, nutrition, socioeconomic issues. And after being berated by these problems for years and years, we had both found this genuine avenue for change in soil. And so we wanted to take these conversations that we were having with farmers and with our peers to the global scale. Oh, sorry.
It's okay. So this is where our stories merge. We arrived last year at UC Davis to pursue graduate degrees in soil and biogeochemistry and quickly discovered a shared passion for science communication and outreach, recognizing the power of fusing science and art to reach a broader audience. There's an innate feeling of wonder in all of us, and we respond either by exploring it, as in the sciences, or expressing it, as in the humanities. Science and art are simply two human constructs that help us to better understand the world around us. And by taking advantage of this connection, we believe that we as scientists can better translate our research.
So last year we attended a Healthy Soils Initiative meeting in Sacramento, California. And we were able to see firsthand the benefit of using the art of storytelling. There was a speaker there. He was talking about carbon sequestration and the potential of sequestering massive amounts of carbon by fertilizing rangelands, and the audience was just captivated. His use of storytelling was engaging, but we, as kind of the only representatives of an academic research institution in the room, we felt that his story was not reflected in the scientific literature, and that the science he was using was sensationalized, and his story was very fantastical. But we were also intrigued, of course, and in admiration of his power of storytelling. It became quite clear that the scientific communication would benefit, that we could benefit by employing this really powerful medium, and that we could do so by framing rather than spinning science, and do that in order to maintain the scientific accuracy and credibility that we felt was very important.
So we left Sacramento that day asking ourselves what we could do to contribute. We sat down later that week with our advisor, Toby O'Gene, and decided to develop a student-led seminar on soil storytelling. We actively recruited graduate students from across campus, trying to tap into that resource that you have at a university of people with talents from everything from business to education to media production. And we knew that by collaborating with such a diversity of perspectives and talents, that we could create deliverable products with broad reach. So from the onset, we made four basic commitments. This is just our flyer of how we got people to join, by the way. We basically made four commitments early on. We had, through our experience in Sacramento, realized that even in a room full of passionate people buzzing about soil, there's still a division into disparate factions with their own individual agendas, speaking their own language, and no united front. So when we first sat down in the room with our seminar, we started by probing our group. We got at their interests, their reasons for being there, and their overall goals for the seminar. And here we can't stress the importance of good questions going in. By asking good questions, we were able to better understand our group, clearly delineate our mission, and get onto the same page. So we took the results of this first brainstorming session, put it into a computer algorithm, and boom, we got this Wordle. We noticed in this that the underlying story always related back to the human element and the life that soil supports. And so our second commitment we decided on was to stay positive, focusing on the beauty and wonder of soil, the mystery, rather than the negative headlines we've all become too familiar with, salinization, degradation, this thin, fragile skin on the earth. Rather than presenting it this way, we thought this powerhouse of soil fertility, this sustainer of life. And we realized that positive focus is needed to inspire positive change. Negativity literally makes people shut down. It's human psychology. It's a defense mechanism. Whereas by portraying the positive side of the soil, we could inspire reverence and optimism towards the pursuit of solutions. Our third commitment was to show our peers that scientific method extends outside of the lab. If they apply something they're so familiar with that's so ingrained in their consciousness, to project development or the creation of content, that they could greatly improve the efficacy of their communication. And in delivering their message, if they flip the approach of scientific writing on its head, they could engage a broader audience and hold their attention longer. So essentially, in science, we go in with the really specific information, and you lose people sometimes in the general populace. But if you start with the lead, the way newspaper headlines do, if you start with the broader impacts, and your outcomes, you can engage people long enough that you start to funnel them in and channel their focus and eventually teach them a little something accidentally. And so our fourth commitment was to storytelling as a whole. Do you want to go through this?
So we utilized this example. This was just one of the resources that we shared with our peers. Pixar put this together, and we feel that Pixar does, as they say, a phenomenal job of storytelling, and they put together a very nicely designed 22 rules that we had a great discussion about. Storytelling is really at the core of what it means to be human.
Sorry, just one point to add here. We tried to take resources like this and apply them to the scientific method to relate them to our peers. So, for example, the number one rule is you admire a character for trying more than for their successes. And similarly, you admire a hypothesis, a scientist for their hypothesis more than their positive results, right? So trying to find the spin that connects. Sorry, I just needed water. I'll step back in. And really, what we found is that if we focus on storytelling, which is truly at the core of what it means to be human, that we can be more effective communicators. From primitive cave drawings to spoken word to the written word, to modern technologies such as television, movies, YouTube's, Vines, stories connect us to universal truths. They connect us to each other. They transcend generations, break through borders, and elucidate the commonality amidst our individual differences. They communicate meaning, purpose, passion, and evoke an emotional response. Storytelling works because it developed alongside human evolution. It's literally how we think, how we interpret the world around us, how we find meaning and define our cultural identity and values. They provide certainty and comfort. We know the major archetypes. We understand the story arc. And they're literally, this shows the neural coupling. There are literally grooves in our brains, neural pathways that are activated when we hear a familiar storyline, which allows us to open ourselves up a bit more to new information, which then, from our aspect, allows us to have more influence as scientists. So moving forward, we broke into project development groups, and the rest of the seminar was dedicated to creative sessions, sharing our progress, and delivering feedback.
So we just wanted to share quickly a couple of the outcomes of the seminar. Two students put together a really cool photo essay in which we compiled a bank of really effective analogies, soil analogies, and she used photography to discuss different soil processes. The main thing, and this is another cool image of Andrea's, the main thing that we did and the thing that we're moving forward to, the seminar culminated in a website that we called Soil Life, and it's serving as a media hub for soils-related media content and educational materials.
So the idea here is just to reach the general populace, to find something that connects into their daily lives. And so using kind of these 8 F's of soil, having kind of that funnel approach where you get someone interested in something that reaches them, and then you have a video, and then if they're interested in more and more specific information, they can tab into infographics, fact sheets, and resources, and really dive down the rabbit hole. This will be a major part of our website, kind of a visual connection, where when they scroll over one of these, it provides photos that connects, for example, from a steak to a cow to grass back to the soil and shows them how intertwined it is with their everyday lives.
We learned a lot of lessons from the seminar, which unfortunately, for the sake of time, we just need to skip over, but we'd be happy to discuss some things that we learned from running this seminar the first time, because there is a future of it that I want to spend the last couple minutes of our presentation talking about.
Okay, so the overarching goal here is to start a campaign, basically like a public relations campaign, to take what we've learned in marketing, in the arts, and apply it to science, and actually inspire reverence for the soil, to give the soil a voice, to raise awareness, and reintroduce people to the soil from whence they came. In order to do so, we're hoping to form a network of groups at universities across the country, working to develop and collect content for the website, working to roll out seminars similar to these so that content can be worked on by graduate students, and to tap into the resources that you have in the university setting, where you have all these passionate, budding artists, educators, business people who are excited to get involved in something like this. We talk a lot about interdisciplinary collaboration, but it's time to kind of walk that talk, and not just between our own scientific disciplines, but across the humanities as well.
And the arts.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's basically our pitch to you all. If you're interested at all in soil storytelling, if you're interested at all in communicating better, or educating your peers or students on communicating better, we would love to get involved and really, there's 70 or so soil programs across the country. And if we all work together, there's real strength in those numbers.
Thank you.
Encourage you to share your story, and a special thanks to UC Davis, to Toby O'Gene for his unwavering support, and the members of Soil Science 290 Soil Storytelling.
Thank you.